Well, what an adventure. What a miracle. 40 years in the wilderness, being fed by manna. 3 days camped on the edge of the Jordan. And then the river stacks itself up so the people can cross. Did Joshua really think they needed a memorial to remember that? Surely it would stay with them forever. But people are fickle, aren't they? They forget. What memorials have we got? Can you think of any? The cenotaph, yeah. Any others? Well, staying on the theme of Second World Wars and that, the National Arboretum. We've got a memorial, well, we've got a couple of memorials right here in Whitney, haven't we? We've got the War Memorial. We've also got a memorial that seems to have passed quite a few people by, which is a memorial for COVID-19 on the Lees. I don't know how many people have seen it. And it's two pieces of stone, hewn in two, which shows that it's unity, but we weren't allowed to be together at that time. And it's on the south end of the Lees, if you're interested. But, sorry? To Libby, yes. Yeah, we... Yeah, that's a memorial. And we've had to replace one of the benches because it unfortunately got too old. Martyrs Memorial in Oxford. So we have plenty of memorials. But there's no signs, physical signs of the stones at Gilgal anymore. But we do have the Bible telling us what happened there. And for those memorials that will eventually disappear, dear as they are to our hearts now, there are history books that people will forget. What is the point of a memorial? The reading that Anne gave us really sums up the whole purpose of the memorial. In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, "What do these stones mean?" tell them all about it. And Joshua put this memorial up so that the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. There's a memorial that we haven't mentioned, and there's probably quite a few examples of it in this very church. There's one behind me. The cross is a sort of a memorial, isn't it? It helps us to remember, and it helps us to teach future generations why the cross, and then we can explain. It's not a very nice story, is it? I know some of us find Good Friday particularly hard, but nevertheless, it's a story that we have to tell, because without the cross, there's no resurrection, and without resurrection, there's no eternal life. Making it to the western bank of the Jordan, of course, was only the start of their journey into the Promised Land. There was that little matter of the people who already lived there, the fortified city of Jericho and those giants that the spies had spied 40 years earlier. But we're not going to look at that. We're going to look at that sometime in the future, most probably, so you'll have to wait a while before we have the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. I'm sure we'll cover them sometime in the new year. But for now, we're going to leave the Israelites standing on the West Bank, having built their camp at Gilgal and made their stone cairn. And they're looking at the future, at the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And they're probably full of faith. They've just seen a miracle, haven't they? They're full of fervor and optimism. are probably also a little bit afraid. How many times in your life have you been in that situation where you finally got to where you thought the grass was going to be greener? Maybe you're off to the next school, off to university, promotion, a new job, retirement, finally, or other new beginnings, even a new beginning such as a holiday, moving house. We have new beginnings all the time, don't we? Because life doesn't stay the same. Life changes. And we stand every time at the beginning of this new beginning with lots of hope and fervor and probably a bit of fear. I once heard that, you know, the fairy stories always say, and they lived happily ever after. And somebody said, yeah, but happily ever after still has to be lived one day at a time. And that's when we realize just how much we have to reach into our faith and let God help us live one day at a time, whatever the difficulties that come along, because difficulties will come along. However much we thought that was going to be the next green field, however much we think that's going to be the land of milk and honey, life is full of difficulties, relationships, red tape from the council, all sorts of things that we have to deal with day in, day out. And as Christians, we look to our faith to help us through those things. We have to believe that God is on our side. Once the Israelites had settled into the promised land, history then marches on. They live life day to day. And we read in the Bible how they rebel, how they are unfaithful to God. By the time we get to the New Testament, they've asked for kings. They got them, and weren't they human? They divided into Judah and in Israel. They went into exile in Babylon. They came back. They're back in the Promised Land. And now they've got the Romans to contend with. Yes, the grass might be greener on the other side, but life has to be lived one day at a time. Moses was a reluctant leader. If you remember, he said to God, no, no, not me. I'm not very good at this. And God said, I've chosen you. Do you feel like that sometimes? You go, not me, not me. But he was a good leader. He led the people out of Egypt, and he sustained them in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua was a great leader for his time. He was appointed by Moses in obedience to God. He proved his faith by standing strong and bold. And with that faith, he led his people through the Jordan, and the Jordan stacked itself up to let them through. Scriptures point to another great leader. In Judaism, the Messiah is identified as a future human leader and descendant of King David, who will restore the house of David, gather the Jewish people, rebuild the temple, and bring an era of universal peace. By New Testament times, they're expecting a leader that will free them from the tyranny of the Romans and give them back their independence and dignity. Jesus was not obviously such a leader, was he? And that's why many of the Jews denied that he was the Messiah. And they're still waiting. We believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And that the era of universal peace will come when Jesus comes again. So, in a way, we too are still waiting. While we wait, we are waiting for the grass to be greener on the other side, aren't we? We're waiting for that promised land when Jesus comes again and gives us peace and joy and unity. Well, while we wait, we need to be bold. We need to be strong. And we need to believe that the Lord our God is with us. We use the Bible to learn the lessons of humanity, to learn the lessons of how to live that day to day. It helps us to navigate our lives. It helps us to bring God near. It makes us realize that we are not alone in making mistakes and in stumbling, but that God is there. And when we get to the New Testament, it teaches us that the kingdom is ours for the taking. Treasure your Bible. Behold the future. God will lead you into the promised land. Trust in him. Amen.